Okay, seeing no objections, this portion of the agenda is extended by another 10 minutes. And I believe you have the floor, Mr. Lark.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask the NES if, in fact, she's aware that, generally speaking, debates happen before a vote is cast. And in this case, obviously, that's not going to happen. I understand a number of people have already made their vote, but it certainly would have made a lot more sense to make sure the debates occurred at least the first week the ballots went out. Now, that's a comment, not a question, but I did want to ask her, was she aware that that's generally how elections go?
Well, I mean, the closer to when the ballots go out, I mean, the better. Yeah, I mean, of course, it was just not logistically possible, and even to get these going, it's a struggle. So, might I just point out that we don't have a majority turnout yet. I mean, we only have, listener-wise, yes, we've met quorum, but there's still, 87% of listeners that haven't voted. So
yes,
it could go
either. I'm quite aware of that, but if you know and you have a very recent history with Pacifica, we generally don't get much past the quorum. So historically,
right?
I
can also say though that the turnout for this is like much higher than any other election that I've ever done before, because usually we don't reach quorum until the very, very last couple of days. And we still have 10 days, or 2 weeks, rather. So I'm just saying that the interest in this referendum is high, and we actually have a lot of participation. I would say probably we could expect it to be double that of the prior two elections. I'm just saying that from having been the NES in the past two elections and seeing voter turnout and how people tend to cast their vote and wait through the very last minute. I think there's still a huge amount of people that haven't cast their vote and intend to. And then there are a lot of people that don't really understand and maybe aren't interested, and precisely having some debates will pique their interest and generate more turnout. But again, like I'm just doing my best under the circumstances. This whole process, was
okay,
too fast.
Okay, well, let me follow up with the fact that when we spoke with you last, we did have a discussion back and forth regarding the playing of cards. I may have missed it in my triple efforts here on the phone. So with respect to the cards that we discussed that would be played, are they being played? And if so, when did they start playing?
I gave the first set of cards prior to the 18th to everybody. So They should have started airing on the 18th, and we can check the archives for that if you really want to. But the materials were given, and I sent out e-campaigns way ahead of time, and that's to the majority of people. So we're doing what we can. And in terms of organizing debates, there's competing, I guess, resources with or airtime resources with the fund drives and whatnot. So, I've been trying to secure a date with KCSK for a few weeks at this point, 2 weeks. And I finally got that. And then KPFA has been non-responsive from the very beginning. And right now I'm actually going through a situation at KPFA where I don't actually know what's going to happen with these debates. It doesn't, anyway, whatever. I don't need to get into that. But.
All right. Well, finally, let me ask a two-parter. First off, if I voted,
yeah.
I haven't, but this is just a if. If I voted, and because I heard additional information that was made me more informed voter, that made me a more informed voter, and I wanted to change my vote, can I request another ballot? And the second part of the question, well, great, I'm glad to hear that. And the second part of the question is that could you repeat what the process is for individuals who don't trust the email balloting and want a paper ballot at this point? What do they do today?
So for people who want a paper ballot but have internet access, they basically just go to elections.pacifica.org, and at the very top of the homepage, there's a link to the ballot request form, and they fill out a ballot request form, and they indicate they want a paper ballot. That's all they have to do. Now, if they do not have internet access, then they leave a voicemail on 510-931-7504, and that's it. I mean, they leave a voicemail, and obviously with their full name and their address, and then basically I field all the calls, and I enter all those calls into my batch of requests, and I look for everybody in the membership databases, and when I find them, I send off the request to the vendors, and if I don't find them, then I communicate with membership to try to verify them, and if I can't, then I send them a message or I call them to tell them that their membership wasn't verified.
Okay, for the few people who may be listening that don't have an email, they want that number again. Could you say it twice so they would have time to write it down?
510-931-7504. 510-931-7504.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Chair Lawrence is on. Lawrence, right?
Lawrence? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Renee. I know this is you have your work cut out for you, and you're doing a very competent job. So I just found the email where the fair campaign provisions violation form was sold out, and I believe it has standing. I don't know if I don't want to be specific because we're on the. You know, we're in open session.
I did.
Is that KPFK violation?
Right. So actually, if you can actually, we'll address that tomorrow. But
I can email you it if you want.
I got it. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the consensus between the three of us was that it didn't. It wasn't severe enough for it to be a violation.
Did you read the whole body of the reasoning of the complainer? Because it's pretty serious as far as I see.
I mean, it was definitely not very tasteful. You know, I would say it was downright mean. But
this is the problem I have with that, Renee. The problem I'm having with that. Is that there are violations taking place, and that it seems like every election, the fair campaign provisions are set aside, and these implied violations or outright violations are not addressed forcefully with some teeth in order for them, you know, to be aggregated. So. I hope that you go back and reconsider having some kind of remedy for this programmer who has been all over the place in regards to, you know, advocating for a certain way. So then I want to move on to the next point. But I have real concerns about that, and I hope that your team reconsider taking a look at that because I find it to be a severe, egregious violation of the ground rules that you set out, and also of the fair campaign provisions. So I'd like you to, again, take another look at that, if you will. And then the second thing is that in regards to Adam's
point. We're out of time.
Chair, may I request to finish my thought?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and finish up, Lawrence.
Thank you. So in regards to Alice's complaint, it's obvious that another speed is a resource of the network, of the foundation, and these kind of outright lies that are being said about the KPFA local station board and this justification that they changed their mind without even going into a meeting of the LSB is an egregious act on the part of those people who are advocating the yes vote. And it's an outright lie that continues to be perpetrated by the yes people. So I think you need to
90 seconds
maybe
to
approach. Thank you. You need to possibly look at it differently and in the way that I just put it out there. Thank you, Nancy. That was very disruptive.
Okay. Actually, I move that we extend this discussion for another 10 minutes.
Actually, I was going to ask you that, Nancy, but you did speak out of turn officially.
James, officially to second.
Okay, so how much was that, 10 minutes, you say?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending this this item for another 10 minutes? Okay. Nancy, you did request to be on the stack. Go ahead.
And Bill.
James for the stack also, please.
Okay, so Nancy, Bill, and James in that order. Go ahead, Nancy.
I have a question about whether or not people can change their vote. I heard that they were not allowed to change, you know, if they had a, you know, to make sure that they voted the way they wanted to and to look at everything before they vote because they couldn't change it. And now I'm hearing that they can change it. So
I don't buy
that.
I don't know where you heard that I ever said they couldn't change their vote, but we, you know, again, this was a consensus decision, decided that we will honor voters' choice as much as possible. It's logistically, it's a little complicated on my end because you can just imagine what it's just another layer of work. And also, the turnaround time, I'm hoping, you know, that I don't get flooded with requests to change their vote at the end, which is why I put a deadline to that. But, you know, obviously, if there are a few people, you know, I'm going to do my best to honor how people want to vote till the last day. I think that's important. It's just more of a logistical hassle than anything else, but I don't know if Terry and Jack, if you want to, you know, they both supported that, essentially.
How do you do it? Yeah. How do they do it? How would they do it?
Oh, just the same way any ballot request is done. You just request a ballot and you write in the notes field why you're requesting the ballot.
Okay, so then you just want to change your vote. Okay. All right. Thank you.
This is Jack. Could I be on the stack, please?
Jack, did you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly go back to what Lawrence was talking about because I see the email now. I understand which incident he's talking about. I happen to agree with Lawrence. I think that it was an egregious violation, and it could be remedied. But we operate as a committee of three, and it didn't seem like anybody was with me on that one. We are documenting all of our responses to these various complaints about violations. So I just wanted to know you to know that we do take all of this very seriously, but we do have our method of coming at a resolution, and I certainly support that method. So I support a decision, even if I don't agree with it.
Okay. I think Bill asked for the floor. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. Well, yeah, I had some questions, but since it's getting late, I hope we can let Jack and Terry give their reports and make any other comments they have.
Okay, I'm not aware. Terry, Jack, did you two actually have separate reports?
Terry, if you have anything to say, why don't you go ahead, because you'll probably say what I was thinking.
Well, just a couple things that have been missed. First, I want to assure the board that the inspectors have been working together in a collegial manner. And so we all three review all of the complaints of Fair Campaign violations and try to reach a consensus. And the other thing that Renee didn't mention, a common complaint of opponents was the failure of the proponents to present their amendments in the standard format used by previous amendments with strikeout text. So we have prepared and put on the election website a comparison document that has the eliminated text in strikeout and the new text in underscore for comparison purposes.
Okay. Jack?
Just a couple points. Election inspectors, we are under court order to act in a neutral fashion, and the three of us have no stated position on these matters. It's actually a very nice place to be. I think we're all familiar with Pacifica and how contentious it can all be, but when you're above it, it's a very different experience. So we are working together without rancor, and we're trying to be thorough. One issue that's come up before in this discussion, there have been some what I call rogue broadcasts where, for whatever reason, either through ignorance or maybe something not quite ignorance, people have gone on the air with one-sided broadcasts where they advocate for a position on this issue without presenting the other side. And they seem to go ahead without contacting the National Election Supervisor. So what I'm just saying to all of you is if anyone approaches you and says, oh, we're going to do a show and we'd like you to come on because we really need to tell people, and you get a sense that it's going to be very one-sided, you might inquire and say, well, have you checked with the National Election Supervisor, because that's a violation of the Fair Campaign provisions. So that's my report.
Okay. I just want to reiterate, by the way, that the two assistants to the election supervisor are there as a result of a court order. But as far as our bylaws are concerned, the National Election Supervisor has the final say in adjudicating all these matters. And what process she decides to rely on is kind of up to her, but she does have the final say. If there's no further discussion on this, we can move on to the next agenda item. Are there any other final thoughts from anybody?
This is James. I had requested the stack.
Oh, I'm sorry, James. Go ahead.
No problem. I just wanted to ask the election supervisor and her assistants, since apparently, you know, as it is in the real world, especially on the internet, you can tell any kind of lies you want to without consequence for the most part. But since it's been acknowledged here on this open stream meeting that particular mailing included misinformation about the position of the LSB, whether there's any objection as far as quoting the election supervisor and assistants as far as their comments on that. You basically conceded that the information was false, and I just want to know if we can use that.
Terry can be quoted.
Yeah, Jack also. This is an open meeting. You're free to quote my words.
Thank you.
Oh, I mean, sure. Yeah, no problem.
We're out of time again.
Okay, then we are concluded with this item. I want to thank Renee and Terry and Jack for informing us and participating in our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next agenda item is an item added to the agenda by Director Rosen. Eileen, would you like to introduce this item?
Yes, thank you, Alex. Just quickly, we've brought this up before. As I think you all know, there is an administrative committee that was formed by the PNB to oversee the pension matters, both the retirement plan and the 403B plan. And since one of the two members quit the committee last year, the only remaining person on there is Grace Aaron, and we really need somebody else to join that committee to help out, because there are some tasks. I'm a trustee for the retirement plan, and don't feel I should be on the committee as well. I've been helping out with some of the tests from time to time, but I think we are falling behind on some of those things. So we really need somebody else to join. I'm not saying it has to be somebody from the PNB. It could be. You know, we will consider all volunteers, but you could also maybe think about people you know, and you being anybody who's listening, who might be maybe a reliable person who I think we should have somebody who is, at least at the moment, a member of Pacifica. It would be great to have somebody who already knew something about these sort of things. It could be a CPA, a lawyer, a human resources specialist, or somebody who's familiar with things like benefits, union contracts, somebody who doesn't have to start from zero, maybe. So I'm putting the call out there for everybody to think about their circle of contacts for somebody who might be, a good candidate for this. And Grace said she was going to be working on a search this weekend. I didn't think she should be the only one involved in that. But I will hand it over to her. If you do think of anybody, please do think about it. Let Grace know, get in touch with Grace about this, and then we can follow up. That's it. Thank you.
Lawrence, to this back, real quick, Chair.
Yes, Lawrence.
Thank you. So I had offered a volunteer, Eileen, and if you still need somebody, I'm willing to volunteer.
That is great.
Let me know offline what I need to do.
Okay. Grace, we will put Lawrence there and talk to him about it to see if, make sure he knows what he's getting into and the duties and things.
Okay.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Sure.
But, that doesn't mean that others shouldn't also. It wouldn't be terrible to have more than two people on the committee. So, if you do think of somebody, that's still open.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So if anybody on the call is interested and thinks they have the proper background, they should contact either the Secretary of the National Board, Grace Aaron, or Eileen directly. Would that be the right procedure?
I would say Grace, because she's on the committee and we're looking for somebody for the committee. We do need another trustee as well, which is much less onerous in terms of duties. So, any volunteers there would be welcome as well.
Okay.
If you want to inquire after it, that doesn't mean you're committing right away. You can inquire of Grace, and you can get in touch with me about trustees, I guess, or Grace, either way.
Okay. Thank you, Eileen.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item is the report from the Interim Executive Director. Lydia, you have the floor.
Unmuting. Okay. So this is under number 5 on your agenda, A, national election coverage, which took place on Tuesday, and I thought went very well. It's a challenge as opposed to having like two hosts cover the entire time from one particular station. We decided, I recommended, and was supported by most, at least 3 of the 5 stations, to go from the East Coast, and since obviously those polls closed earlier, so we started the coverage at 4 o'clock. I don't know how many of you listened to it. Started in the East Coast, and WPFW and WBAI work together to produce content for the first 3 hours. We had a technical issue with KPFT for the next hour. They were going to be allotted 1 hour, so KPFK got an extra hour. Yes, KPFK got an extra hour. And then it was KPFK and KPFA, followed by Spanish language at 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock Pacific time, and we put it on the website. We also sent out an email blast, and on the same day, or actually the day before, I also added an Act Blue button. The old button is still there, which is linked to PayPal. And Act Blue during this election period, of course, that's what So many people have been using, and they have an abundance of nonprofit organizations now. My interest in ActBlue is that they also generate a thank you that includes our federal ID number, which we're required to send. And I found that, as reported before, with the PayPal account, we're having to do those manually, like 60 pages worth of recurring donations that we get from that. So the ActBlue solves that for one thing. It's not widely known that that's what we're using, and there's other information that needs to be added to the website before we start realizing any significant benefit, which is new instructions in terms of mailing checks. The Secretary, Grace Aaron, and I did secure a P.O. box here in Los Angeles, and that can receive, so when I generate an appeal, that if people want to write checks, then they can go there and not get mixed up with KPFK mail. We wanted to have all of the mail sent to the P.O. box, but they didn't have any P.O. boxes, any boxes that were large enough to handle some of the larger items, but this is certainly, it's like a medium box, so it'll handle plenty of checks, we hope. Anyway, so that's a move in what I hope will be a profitable direction. The other thing, the next item is B, the station fund drives and other financial issues. The fund drives are ongoing, being extended, I think, at several of the stations for different reasons. And there was a problem with Braintree that stemmed, I believe, from the closing down of BAI for the time in October, and that other things were interrupted that we were unaware of. This one had to do with our bank. And so that interrupted the donations that were being sent to WBAI, so they're going to have to extend, and those donations were not put through, unfortunately. So that's going to take some work to try to regain that. And in terms of other extensions, that I want to mention also, I didn't mention, during the national election coverage, I did inform the stations that they could break away for like 5 minutes to do their pitches for their fund drives if they were in fund drive. And that seems to have worked out. And let's see, the next item, other financials. We have the same struggling issues with finances, as I said, trying to schedule an appeal letter, which now we've tested the system in order to reach, first of all of our own membership for as far as the national coverage went. We will be doing the same thing through Constant Contact, and our membership list will start with an appeal there, try to raise the money to find a modest means of obtaining emails from other progressive organizations who share emails, and hopefully expand the pool of who we reach out to in terms of an upcoming email appeal. And let's see, in terms of banking and administrative update, it seems that the situation at KPFA may have had a ripple effect, so that at the Wells Fargo Bank, which we deal with for KPFT, they requested all new banking documents because they were informed that we had changed our name. Of course, we kind of know that story already, where someone had mischievously taken our name back in 2013. It was restored thereafter. But regardless, they had to fill out new paperwork. Markeisha notified me right away. And so I was, I was able to do that. A similar requirement and situation has come up again with Chase at WBAI, separate from the issue that I raised before. So it seems to be a ripple effect stemming from that previous situation, and which we're working on on all fronts. It's very time consuming to redo everything. Fortunately, because we've had some practice at it now for a few weeks, that I have all of the founding documents at the ready, and we're up to date with our statement of information and so forth. Let's see, what else did I say here? Other than that, I think that one of the things, which I think is the next item, is going to be coming out. So I'll wait until we deal with that, which is the coronavirus and people querying about that. But in relation to the elections, I do want to mention this. Any inquiries that come to me from the station managers about the various issues, on-air issues, and their programmers, I direct them all to the NES. I think it's really important for all of us, regardless of where we stand on the issue, to, as Renee said, to refer them to the NES. I think regardless of how the NES comes down on it, also, whatever that decision is, but it needs to be, like, chronicled there, including, all the complaints and all of the kinds of questions that come up, and I think that that's really important. So I've been trying to keep a fine line. One of those issues, however, becomes that some of the folks are trying to, I won't go into the specifics, but there was an email that Renee received earlier. So someone who I believe is on the lawsuit, but at the very least has a position, but is not a member of staff or of the board, objecting to a scheduling of one of the forums, and that's and invoking all kinds of issues that relate to staff, to programming and programming director, and when it's scheduled, and so on and so forth. And so, when it falls to me in terms of directing staff to allow for the forums and so forth, I strongly believe that is my prerogative, and that applies to whoever, not just in this situation. So when it comes to that, when it's something where I need to support what the National Election Supervisor and her assistants have arrived at in terms of providing information equally and so on and so forth, or whatever the issue is, then yes, then I'm the one to enforce that relative to staff, just to make that clear. Okay. Any questions?
I'll take a stack.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I skipped the... I wasn't through. A, B, C, D. Okay, so the update on the KPFA building property tax issue, I just sent the board the withdrawal of the auction from the KPFA property. Now, this is widely made public, and these links are public also. And so these are at the tax assessor's office. And we have also notified FJC attorney regarding the lifting of that. The basis for that was because we had made such an extraordinary effort to comply, which today I accidentally printed. I meant to just print out that one link, and I ended up printing like 5 inches of paper of the documents that we submitted in order to comply, because you had to do basically a duplication of efforts for every single year that was missing in terms of the property taxes being paid and the exemption being requested. There's it is according to the email from one of the attorney firms that we're using, one of the legal firms we're using, that this could take several months for us to be completely in the clear, get the exemptions, and so on and so forth. But we still have another mound of paperwork that needs to be submitted for each of those years, having to do with very detailed what were the activities going on, send us a calendar of events, blah, blah. So so all of those issues are still to be submitted by KPFA to the attorneys. Those will be forwarded, and again, this is a whole process. We still have to obtain that the clearance certificate again, as the board voted last week. And so all I can say is that significant progress, but the most important thing is that mid-March, they are not auctioning off the building. That was obviously critical in general and very specific to the loan. Okay. Questions?
Okay. Before we take a stack, I just want to thank Lydia for all the work she's put in on the KPFA property tax situation. So, Grace, anybody else?
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say, that I think we should all be very grateful to all the work that Lydia put in principally, and also the board assisted with that by giving Lydia the permission to hire the special lawyers to rectify the situation that had been going on for 7 years without being dealt with. And that was a very serious and dangerous situation. I applaud her for getting a lot of work done, because there are a lot of forms that had to be filled out and information that needed to be gathered. I think she handled it very competently, and I'm very happy that it went to a positive conclusion, or it's on its way. At least the building is not going to be auctioned, and it looks like it's on its way to being completely resolved. So thank you, Lydia.
I just also, Mr. Chair, if I may add, I want to thank everyone who helped, including at KPFA, but also the fact that Pacifica has engendered a lot of goodwill. And so we had, you know, a very good disposition toward us from our law firms and from the people at the tax assessor's office and so forth that who were aware who we were, think of us as doing really good work. And I think that's some, you know, why we're all, whether we're on different sides of the existing fight, but we're all there because of our belief in the mission and in Pacifica. And it actually really went a long way toward getting the auction lifted. So, again, thank you.
Okay, who else would like to be on the stack?
Bill, is Corey for the stack?
Bill? Chris? Okay, I didn't know you were at the meeting.
Announce myself.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was wondering if you could give a little more detail on the station fund drives and how they're going, and you mentioned there were some had been extended. I'm not sure at which stations, and just how are we doing in terms of how we compared to last year and goals and things like that.
Yeah, I haven't had time. The other thing I might mention, I mean, I haven't had the access. What I get is the current stuff. I have not had time to compare it to last year since this is the first fund drive that I have lived through recently. So, obviously a lot of time is taken up on a variety of issues from the stations. I've only heard of an extension at KPFK so far, but I do believe all, and at WBAI because of the interrupted situation with Braintree that I mentioned before, and so I really don't have figures. I can send them out as soon as I get them. And it's been a work in progress, and it hasn't been that long. Some of the stations I know at KPFK they used to post the numbers every day. That doesn't happen quite as consistently. So I can send something out by email as soon as I get more substantive reports, because most of these fund drives just started recently in the past week or two, so we don't have anything substantive talk about. Go ahead.
Quick follow-up. I know just at KPFT, we only reached 55% approximately of the goal for the fund drive that we had last month. So are any of the other stations doing anything that badly or hope they're doing better?
Well, I'm only gauging from the request from the notices to extend fund drives. So I assume KPFK didn't make its goal, so that's why it has extended its fund drive. And I don't know by how much, because I know like WPSW exceeded its goal for the end of the year fund drive. So I'm not sure how that is going, but certainly I can circle back. And I will be one of the things that I did, as I said, in addition to what I had said before, when I've been having the national programming or whatever it is, I do encourage that people donate to the individual stations that they have, or to give to Pacifica.org. At the end of the day, it goes in the same pot for a number of the same reasons. But the other thing relative to the finances, and I mentioned this to our treasurer yesterday, was the need to include the distribution from the election costs, including this membership situation. We've always distributed among all of the stations, but I'm saying that the Finance Committee needs to look at it. It certainly wasn't something initiated by Pacifica. So, there are a number of things. It was really in that whole distribution of bill backs and all of that that we still have problems with, I think. It used to be a pretty clear-cut issue relative to suits and so on and so forth, and I don't see that being included. And so I think there will probably be motions that we need to deal with. I do think that we need to have as soon as the bylaws situation is settled, that we need to have perhaps one entire board meeting where we just focus on the finances, pass motions if necessary to clarify things, because many of the GMs, including from KPFT, who's a new GM, wanting, anything that we think is going to come out that he needs to budget, he needs to do it. All of the GMs are in that situation. We don't have budgets that are any kind of a guide to folks. So I think that's really important, and we need to do that.
Okay. Chris, you're up next, and I'm going to put myself on the stack also. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Thank you. First of all, Lydia, I want to express my my thanks for you know, your assistance that you offered, and also for being a good conduit between myself and the various parties that were involved in this dispute. It was, I thought it was handled pretty gracefully, and yeah, I think we were very fortunate to have a lot of goodwill out of KPFA that helped in this situation as well. The question I had for you is that normally in these situations, when there's a disputed tax issue like this, the all of the money is basically once the entity has been notified, in this case the County of Alameda, I believe, the amount that's outstanding is put into dispute basically, and then it's negotiated, and the two parties, us and them, arrive at a number that is that's either agreed to or that you know, follows the law. And I'm just wondering if that's the current status of that outstanding balance, or whether you or whether you don't know the answer to that question.
Well, the process is, and I'm going to reiterate for anyone that didn't listen last time or aren't aware, or I wasn't clear enough, which is likely, is that we have two law firms. One is focused on getting an exemption, a total exemption on the tax. We already had, KPFA already had an exemption, a partial exemption, which is good because we're just kind of theoretically piggybacking on that. Yes, we've been granted an exemption. All we wanted to do was to even get a greater exemption and be completely exempt from paying any taxes on the property. We only have one real estate property that has been totally exempt from taxes, and that's KPFT. And Dwayne Bradley actually brought that about through, and he worked on it a really long time also. Both KPFA and now KPFK is doing the same thing. So that's one issue. So if we are first, and that's what will take some time, obviously, is going, if we are granted the complete exemption from property taxes, then obviously that has a tremendous impact on what ultimately KPFA will have to pay in terms of taxes. We don't know if it'll be granted a total exemption or if it will just be reduced further than what it was paying before, and what they will do about not having paid it while filing the exemption. It's unclear. The business manager at KPFA still believes that her information that she was given was that she shouldn't be paying, otherwise she wouldn't be able to get the retroactive exemptions for that, and I can't speak to that. But anyway, so that's the one firm is getting that exemption. So once that is granted, then the other firm, who is right now and continues to be focused on the dollar amount that might be owed, shall we say, getting waivers on fees, because the bulk of any time you don't pay has to do with all of, you know, the fines levied against you. The amount of the taxes themselves was minimal.
Yeah.
So it, you know, it goes hand in hand, and so I'm going to assume that that's where we are right now. But until the first thing happens, the second thing can't happen, the negotiation that you're talking about.
Mr. Chair, can I give the follow-up question?
Yes,
quite
sure.
Simple. Thank you. What I was asking is that if the County of Alameda or whoever's holding us to paying for this, you know, they've obviously been notified, but the reason I'm asking this question is because this continual stream of harassment can happen from these entities if they don't at least acknowledge that. I mean, I'm assuming this is kind of a trivial thing in a way, that they understand that this thing is in dispute, and so this amount is kind of just being held for now until the dispute is resolved. Is that your understanding of the situation? That's all I'm asking.
Okay, so amounts aren't actually placed anywhere. I mean, there's nothing in writing that we have of what they're doing with the amounts. In other words, I don't know. It's a good question. I will ask the attorneys whether fees and so forth continue to
That's
mount.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
Yeah. I will ask about that. I think that they, I haven't seen anything saying that they don't. The only thing that was lifted was that that KPFA was not going to be auctioned off mid-March. And as a result of the good efforts being put forward, in order to get the exemption and so on and so forth. So it's kind of, that part is for, that's the part that's frozen. I don't know if it defines climb until we get the exemption and then we have the one firm trying to get rid of them altogether.
Okay, thank you.
Nancy for the stack.
And we're at time.
Dwayne to the stack and
can we have a motion to extend since
Dwayne motion to extend 10 minutes?
10 minutes. Do we have a second?
Chris seconds.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes? Okay. This item is extended for another 10 minutes. I have Dwayne on the stack. That's after myself. Anybody else?
Nancy, please.
Nancy. Okay. All right. I just wanted to add something about the WBAI fund drive and the problem with Braintree. WBI was actually having a very successful fund drive. I don't have the detailed stats in front of me, but I know we had at least one day where we took in 19,000. The budgeted prediction was an average of 7,500 a day, and we had many, many days where we went very significantly over that. But what happened was on February 28th, Braintree, which is the company that clears the credit cards for all the payments through PayPal, and that's for online and the call center, they stopped accepting any payments, and people who were trying to make donations were not able to do so. And our general manager estimates that we lost something like $40,000 because of that. Some of that we may be able to recoup because many of the people who were trying to make the donations informed us about that, and so we'll get their donation one way or another. But I don't, you know, it's hard to say how much. And the reason for that interruption is very interesting because it seems that during the time when the former interim executive director shut down WBAI, he also ordered our bank, Chase, to no longer accept any payments from Braintree. Why he did that is kind of a mystery, since that would have simply been money that would be going to Pacifica. But apparently that's what happened. And we weren't aware of that, and there was some kind of a mix-up with Braintree trying to let us know about it. That's a whole other story, but in any case, that was the reason. So Braintree weren't getting any payments from us from our bank account, even though we had ordered those payments to go out. And I want to commend our general manager and our development director, Andrea Katz, for making many, many, many phone calls, hours and hours, apparently. They had to be on the phone with Braintree and with PayPal and with the bank in order to get this whole matter straightened out. And it is straightened out now. And anyway, that's the reason why WBI had to extend its fund drive. Okay, Dwayne, you're on. Lydia, before Dwayne, you go. Lydia, did you have anything more to add to that item?
No, not to that item. I will want to add something later that I remembered. But go ahead.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Well, first off, Lydia, I want to thank you for your hard work in this specific item, very timely work coordinating. and certainly the misfounded and misdirected and inappropriate accusations of trying to place blame on you for this fiasco. Obviously, we have no responsibility whatsoever for it, but thank you for working through it and the other work that you've done since you've been on board. I'm sure most of us can't imagine the hours that you're spending for free because of your love for this foundation. And on behalf of all Goodwill members, I want to thank you for that. Secondly, I do want to set the record straight that I was a second-year member of KPFT at the time KPFT received the Harris County of Texas designation as a nonprofit entity with no taxes to be paid, in fact, rebated some taxes. And Bill Crozier did have a hand in that. I'd like to give credit where credit's due. But Dwayne Bradley did not have to work that hard at it because one of the few good things about Texas is that Texas is pro-nonprofit, and Texas laws, tax laws particularly, and Harris County specifically, really bend over backwards to aid individual entities that have nonprofit status. So all we needed to do, I've done it for three additional organizations I've been a part of over the years. All we needed to do, and we did it ourselves, as I understand it, because I was part of the vote, but it should have came from the PNB, which was to prove your designation, whether it's California or Texas, that you are owned and your facilities are owned by a nonprofit. So I just want to set the record straight that it's not that difficult in Houston, Harris County, Texas, to get that designation.
Okay, thank you.
Lawrence, to the stack, please.
Okay, Nancy, you're next. Lawrence, I'm putting you on the stack. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, yes, I had a further question about the tax situation. Lydia, mm-hmm. Thank you so much for all your work on this. Quite a relief to see where we are at this point. Is it possible that we would also get a retroactive exemption for the taxes that we paid at the National Office Building that was sold, when we paid that out of the proceeds of one of the loans, we paid those taxes off that were full taxed.
Right. We can certainly apply for that. There are several things that have to take place first. I've heard from at least one of the attorneys involved that did not think that based on what we're paying the attorneys and what we would have to do to get that part of it done. And I don't know if part of the years that were not paid included when it was a commercial entity, because a part of it was the restaurant. But anyway, he said we would probably have to think hard about whether it would be worth our while, but it's something that the board would have to decide, and I would have to look into it more. But right now we don't have the cornerstone document to do that. That's why we passed that amendment last week, was because we needed a new OCC clearance certificate. And so as soon as we get that, we can reevaluate again and get input from all of the three firms involved.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
But yes, it's possible. And I do want to say that because of my involvement with another nonprofit, that one just received good news here in LA that they're getting 4 years back exemption. So it is possible to do that. So
uh-huh.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Lawrence?
Thank you. So Lydia, I'd like to thank you as well for taking all the arrows for us, including the PNB also took arrows from those who were blaming the board and the IED for dealing with this issue, but they didn't give much credit for resolving it. So I just want to put that out in the public stream that you worked hard along with the management team and this board supporting you to get this done for KPFA to have a building to broadcast out of. So I just want to give you a shout out for that and for all the work that you're doing, because I know you're working hard. Because once you commit to something, you follow through. So thank you.
Okay. Lydia, do you have some final thoughts you want to...
I'm not on the many lists that I guess people are alluding to. I didn't know I was being blamed for anything, but there you go. nothing but good news. But in fact, there was one piece of it, the one that we rectified at our previous meeting, and it did go. I did find it in the email for the ED at Pacifica, and the notice calling our attention to what we passed last week, the need for that in order to get the exemption, did go to the ED that I won't name at this juncture. Anyway, an ED in 2018, and that apparently from other directors I've spoken to, it was not sent to the PNB. And so, you know, it's really important, and when you go through so many EDs, I can see when that can be a challenge as well. So there was that. And then the other thing that I was going to close with, I have forgotten. So there you go. I'll leave it for next time or send it out in an email.
We're at time. Sorry.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, Lydia, I just wanted to say, you know, that at Pacifica, no good deed goes unpunished.
Okay.
Don't take it personally.
That is true.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. I remember. Okay. So... it turns out I've been dealing with email problems from the beginning because I was out of space on the Gmail account for ed@pacifica.org. So now they've set me up. They now forward any incoming email to a new Google account, but it's not anyway. So I am sending new emails out of ed@pacifica.org because I've been unable to, even though in the settings I have put that, of the new email address where I'm receiving it. So I'm sending from one and receiving from the other. So if there's a bit of a delay in my response to individual requests, that's why. I also, the contacts didn't transfer from one to the other. So I have to, when I'm sending an email, I have to copy it from the old email to the new one. So there you go.
There you go indeed.
There you go indeed. So I just, but don't hesitate to email me, but you may, sometimes you may get an email from Pacifica ED or sometimes it'll be ED@Pacifica. Anyway, just to let you know, it's still me.
Okay. So I think we're done with this, this part of the agenda, and, we go on to our next item, which is a motion on the coverage of the coronavirus. Grace, would you like to speak to that?
Yes.
Hello, Grace?
Yes, I'm here. It's just a simple motion. I'm sure we're all concerned about the coronavirus, and the motion is just... due to the massive impact of the coronavirus pandemic, the Pacifica National Board urges all Pacifica stations to provide timely health and safety information in the public interest during the duration of this emergency.
Okay. Do we have a second? Hold on. Do we have a second for this motion?
I second, Lawrence.
Okay. Lawrence, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to be recognized to also not just all Pacifica stations, but all affiliates as well. Just add that.
I want to
add that to the
motion. Amendment to all units, maybe, all Pacifica units.
Okay, that's fine.
Do we have a second for this amendment?
Second, Nancy.
Nancy, okay. Can you send the exact wording of the amendment to Grace?
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. Well,
okay. I believe it's just to change the Pacifica National Board urges all Pacifica units to provide timely health and safety information.
Yeah.
Very simple change.
Okay. So you don't need me to write it out?
To units.
All right. Okay. Should I write it out or no?
No, you don't have to.
Okay. This is Lydia.
Lydia, go ahead.
Yes. So I had planned to send something that directs the links because I've gotten it from from Paychex and other entities, even from our cleaning service and so forth. Everybody is putting out actual plans. NETA called me because they have a plan in place and you need to do that. So I am going to request that all general managers develop a specific plan and to follow the guidelines from the CDC and so on and so forth and the World Health Organization in terms of real information and how to avoid contracting it to the best of your ability. But you also have to have a plan. The reason NETA called me was to make sure if they all were to become ill, since they work in the same office, that the checks could still be generated and so on and so forth. So so that was good. Certain jobs that can be done at home in case you are quarantined. You know, there's all kinds of things that might be emerging. So it's all about planning. Hopefully, plans that won't have to be implemented. But it's always important as a responsible entity to do that. So I will be following up on that.
Bill for the staff.
I think we're really out of time on this item, aren't we?
It's 5 minutes. We have a minute and a half more.
Okay. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, it's not an amendment, but I just hope that you can stress to all the GMs that any programmers that deal with this, they need to say to them when they're asked a question like by callers, if they don't know, they should say they don't know. Because I've heard some talk shows where neither the callers nor the host had any idea what they're talking about. And, you know, we don't want to spread misinformation, you know. Mm-hmm. And even just things like, well, is testing covered by insurance? And, you know, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of things like that that come up. And we need to be a source of reliable, accurate information and not just mm-hmm. somebody guessing.
All right.
Thanks.
I should add that there's been some very good information on Democracy Now! On the coronavirus situation, and specifically about this issue whether insurances cover testing. As a matter of fact, I discussed it this morning. Okay, are there any objections to the amendment?
Wait a minute, Mr. Chair. Let's don't leave that out there hanging. What is the deal? I'm an insurance agent, so I'd like to hear anybody's answer to, does insurance cover the testing?
In New York State, they are, and the insurances are forced to be covering it. Let's put it that way. There was an executive order or something from our governor. But that may not apply in other states. It probably doesn't.
Excuse
me, Mr. Chair. I believe this is out of order. Why are we giving medical information now here?
Nobody's giving medical.
Not medical information.
Well, not medical,
insurance,
but
information.
Insurance information. Why are we giving it when we don't know?
Well, I think we have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, let's go to that.
And that is correct. We should not be. This is kind of a detour. I was asking if there was any objections to the amendment. Okay, seeing none, the amendment is accepted. Are there any objections to the motion as amended? Seeing none.
With a suggested amendment. That we add something about not making any unfounded announcements or something like that.
That just Mr. Chair, this is Lydia, if I may.
Lydia?
Yeah, I will exert my prerogative as ED to include that in my communication with the general managers.
Great.
Thank you. And include what Bill said, you know, the same thing. Okay.
I don't think we really need that in the motion.
No, I don't think
so. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Okay, so are there any objections to the motion as amended? Okay, seeing none, the motion as amended is adopted. Next item is we have to go into closed session to deal with a confidential matter. Let's see, it's 11:06. Shall we give people a 5-minute break and then go into closed session? Does everybody have the call-in number for the closed session?
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia. Am I needed on the closed session? Are there any items I didn't see?
Chair Lawrence, to the stack.
Hold on. Lydia, I don't, you know, I...
Is it just a board issue?
No.
It's...
Something else? Okay.
It is a board issue, but somebody may ask you something.
Okay, I'll get on.
Okay.
Five minutes, right, Chair? No, 5 minutes?
5 minutes, okay.
When was the executive session number sent out?
I texted it, and you got it from automatically a few days ago.
And
so
you got it today.
Reply, and I texted to you at about
3:15.
I guess 5. I don't know.
3:15.
Excuse me. Before we adjourn, Chair, may I be recognized?
We're not adjourning. Point of order, we're not adjourning. We're recessing to a closed session.
Okay,
so
before we recess, may I have
And can someone send me that number? I'm not on. This is Lydia. If someone can send me that number then.
Okay, I'll text it to you, Lydia, but I will send it again.
Ms. Goodman, what is your...
Before we recess, may I have a point of... It's not personal privilege, but it's some kind of privilege. Please, may I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I received an email, and presumably it went to all the PNB, that Donald Guldmacher asked to be excused. He said he was sick, and it was via email, and I just want to put that in the record, and since he asked to be excused, that we need to recognize that and include him in the excused percentages.
We already disposed of that item, so we can't go back to it at this point.
Well, but he sent it in
motion
today, and it just needs to be dealt with.
We are recessing. We are recessing this meeting. We will resume in 5 minutes. I'll see you at the call-in number for the executive session.